Members, if you'd take your seats, the Infrastructure Strategies Committee will come to order. Missy, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne?
Here.
Vice Chair Kennedy?
Here.
Committee Whip Smith?
Here.
Ranking Member Hunchowski?
Here.
Representative Andrade?
Here.
Representative Botana?
Here.
Representative Brackett is excused. Representative Buchanan?
Here.
Representative Cassell?
Here.
Representative Cheney?
Here.
Representative Escamani?
Here.
Representative Gottlieb?
Is that Gottlieb?
Gottlieb.
Here. Sorry, I didn't hear.
Representative Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Lopez? Representative McFarland? Representative Mooney?
Here.
Representative Nixon is excused. Representative Plasencia? Representative Redondo?
Here.
Representative Robinson?
Here.
Representative Schoaf? Representative Stevenson?
Here.
Representative Tomko is excused. Representative Trunell?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Members, we have a quorum. Please remember to make sure your cell phones, electronic devices, members and audience are off and are placed in silent mode. Members, good afternoon. Welcome back to Infrastructure Strategies Committee. I hope you all had a great holiday, enjoyed some time off. It's time to get back to work. So before we hear from our presenters today, I want to recognize a few people. We have a new vice chair, Kennedy, is now on our committee, and I think everyone knows her background and knows who she is. But we also have a brand new member. Did I hear a phone? That's a $5 fine. Okay. You can leave that with the purser on the way out. Could be 10 if you stay after it. I want to introduce our new member. Let him have a chance to tell you about him himself, and that's Representative Mike Redondo. Mike, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here, an honor to serve with you all. I'm looking forward to the great work we'll do. I'm in District 118, which is West Kendall in Miami-Dade County, if you're familiar. But otherwise, again, I'm very thankful to be here. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chair, and again, I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you, sir. So members, for today's committee meeting, I want to continue the education process for each of us and have the opportunity to meet some of those that I've invited, three groups. They play a critical and a vital role in our acquisition of conservative lands. They help us as advocates for crucial roles they play throughout the state. I've met them all at some point in time. I've seen their advocacy. There are partners in state agencies that help us with land purchases, including things like the wildlife corridor that we've done. So we'll hear from these three groups, Conservation Florida, Tall Timbers, and Ducks Unlimited. And so I'd like to start out with Tracy Dean, President and CEO of Conservation Florida. If you'd like to approach Tracy, and you have a video. Also with Tracy today is Matt Pierce from Conservation Florida Chair, and Pat Durden, the current president of Florida Cattlemen Association. So welcome, thank you for being here today, and thank you for your advocacy. Tracy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the committee. Today, we're going to start things off by showing an episode of a new TV show called Protect Our Paradise. The episode we're going to show today is called Our Land, and then my colleagues and I will each do a presentation on land conservation, and it's our hope that you have a thorough overview of the status of land conservation, agriculture, and more. So thank you, Chair. If I may play that. Thank you.
This is pure dumb luck.
This is what success looks like.
This is success.
Now, what's the biggest threat?
It's us and our sprawling development.
Oh, good goop.
If we aren't good stewards of this land, what future do we have for our state?
Florida's number one in prescribed fire.
We're trying to be resilient with the land. I was born a conservationist.
A lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
We're all about bombs and birds.
You've got to take care of this land. If we don't, we're going to lose it.
My name is Chad Crawford. For the past 15 years, I've introduced viewers to Florida's wild beauty. But right now, paradise we know and love is being threatened like never before.
We are way better than this.
Join me as I meet the men and women fighting for our future. We'll dive headfirst into the environmental challenges threatening our way of life. This is our paradise. It's time to stand together to protect what we love.
me, there's something about just walking through the woods, imagining a Florida long, long ago, when Native Americans lived in harmony with the land. Well, a lot has changed since then. We've cleared, ditched, and paved our land, making way for us to live in paradise. The good news? There's still a lot of wild land left. So I wanted to know who's out there fighting to keep this land wild. I've talked to enough old timers to know how long, long ago, Florida was the king of the cattle industry in America. Well, that was then. Today, we're ranked 13th, with most of the operations taking place in Okeechobee County, which is where I'm heading. Driving down, you'll see three things: a lot of cows, a lot of orange groves, and a lot of land for sale signs. Matt Pierce is an 8th-generation cattle rancher here in Okeechobee County.
My great-great-great-great-grandfather, Levi Pierce, he was a pastor, and he rode on the circuit, and then they're the ones that initially settled this part of the world.
I'll join Matt and his crew of cowboys for a full day of, well, I'm not really sure. I'm just excited to pretend to be a cowboy.
The other way.
The other way.
Very good. Now you're ready.
How's that?
It looks good. The landscape we're on, Kissimmee River floodplain, you have a lot of scattered cabbage palms, a lot of really old oak trees with the Spanish moss, and then you got a big prairie that comes off the river that would have always been grazed. That's why there's no trees on it.
Anyone who's ridden a horse in open land will tell you it's the best seat in the house. Our first task was to find the cows. We looked in a dense wooded area full of scrub oak and saw palmetto. Matt says they hide in here to rest and get out of the sun.
We do provide habitat to a lot of endangered and threatened species. And a lot of those species are coming back because of working lands and creating habitat for wildlife.
Much of Florida's undeveloped land is what's called working land. This is land that's worked to support a livelihood like a cattle industry, which alone commands over 1.5 million acres of this working land here in Florida.
Our ranch lands in our state are some of the last vast green landscapes that we have. And most people don't know that cattle ranching actually began in Florida. So this is such a deep part of our state's history.
Working lands are critical to Florida's wildlife corridor, which is a connected network of over 18 million acres of public conservation land, state and national parks, cattle ranches, citrus groves, and timberlands. This wildlife corridor is critical to the survival of many of Florida's 131 imperiled animals.
Of the unprotected part of the corridor that remains, there is a significant amount of it that's in agriculture. And the most beautiful parts of it are ranch lands and our timberlands.
Eventually, we'd find them out in an open field near some water.
So this time of year, we're in calving season. So you got little baby calves on the ground. And it's a little harder to move cattle with baby calves on the ground because the mothers are anxious. They're more aggressive. So if you're in a certain range of their calf, they're going to defend it.
Stubborn cows are quickly persuaded to move with the help of a Florida cowboy's best friend, the cattle dog. Trained to encircle the cows into a tight bunch. This makes driving the cows safer for the cows and the cowboys.
Typically when we gather a pasture full of cattle, the cattle are kind of trained to bunch up with the dogs. And then after you get them contained, the horses and the riders move in and you settle the cattle. You take the dogs off and then they settle. They know they're ready to drive. And then one guy will get up front and lead the cattle. And then the rest of them will side them and bring them from behind. Calm and slow is really faster.
As we begin to move the herd, an epic scene began to take shape. The horses, the dogs, the scenery, the sounds. This is exactly what it looked like 500 years ago, when this lifestyle literally defined Florida.
When we think of Native American tribes in Florida, we think of the Seminoles and Miccosukees. They arrived here in the early 1700s. They found here a lot of cattle and some horses that were left over from the Spanish, and they really developed a cattle culture across the landscape.
Matt, what's threatening this way of life?
Habitat destruction in the form of growth. Ranchers feel the pressure of development, and I see a shift, you know, into the panhandle of the cattle industry and the ranching industry as ranchers give up because of pressure and the value of their land going up for more than what they can ranch it for.
Do you see yourself as a conservationist?
So I think I was born a conservationist. For every acre you take of ranch land, you're displacing those endangered species and the wildlife that we protect. And then you're creating issues with water to where it's not on the landscape. We're holding that water on the landscape, which is aquifer recharge. We're trying to be resilient with the land. The sense of responsibility to the land was handed down over the generations. It was just a sense of pride and heritage that was expected of you.
What do people need to know about this industry?
That we are stewards of the land. And, you know, when we go home at night, you know, you want to left it better than you found it.
With the task complete, Matt prepared what he called Cowboy Cookout. It was a simple meal with a hell of a view and good company.
You think this way of life is in decline?
Oh, yeah. People that are our age are quitting and doing something else. That's because cool. The work's not here. Yeah. Because the ranches is not plentiful like they was. Yeah. Every time you turn around, it's another one's getting sold out. And
it's just a way of life. I mean, you got to love it.
I mean, I want to help feed the world. I mean, that's what we're doing.
I watch the sun set at my house every day, and it's cabbage palms and water. That's paradise to me, and I feel like we're protecting.
Over 5,000 everyday items incorporate some part of a pine tree.
Forestry is a $25 billion industry to our state, employing over 125,000 Floridians. I'm in Chiefland, Florida, to better understand this crop and its impact on our land.
Well, it's so peaceful and serene. You can hear the trees kind of swaying.
That's called the Song of the South.
You won't find a stronger force for this industry than Lynetta Griner.
We're all working within nature, you know, the bounty that we've been blessed to steward. And we take that responsibility very seriously.
Alongside her husband, Ken, and her son, Corey, they run Usher Farms, a 6,800-acre tree farm and cattle operation in Chiefland, Florida.
Is it true that there are more trees today than there was 100 years ago?
Yes, it is.
I think a lot of people don't know that. I didn't realize that.
Well, because 100 years ago, we weren't planting them in rows and cultivating them like we do today.
How are the people of Florida benefiting from this land?
Because we are offering so many other services than just the fiber that comes from our trees. Mm-hmm. We're filtering water, we're storing carbon, we're generating oxygen.
And these timberlands are important in our environment because they've always been there. It certainly is important for water recharging the aquifer and for control of floodwaters. So there are a lot of benefits to keeping land in silviculture.
Statewide, there are more than 17 million acres of forest. The vast majority of these timberlands are privately owned.
Usher Farm was put together by my parents starting shortly after they married in the 1950s, and they just bought it piece by piece as they were able to afford. It's such a responsibility that we feel to be good stewards. We have it in the shape it is today because of previous good stewards that we had before us. This is home, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Every one of these rings is a year. You're probably looking at a 45-year-old tree.
Eric Handley is our forester. His family has been part of our family since the late 1970s.
Belle, you ready to plant some trees, girl?
She looks ready. Hey, Belle.
Hey,
come what's on. Going on, me?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're the man getting to work.
Oh, wow.
So these are what we call containerized. It's grown in a container at the nursery.
Right.
The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, but the second best time is today. So
we better get going.
I think there's one right up here maybe that's missing a tree. As you walk, you just push the dibble in. You kind of lean it over, you know, brown side down. And you put it in there. and then you kind of pull back on it and step on it.
Easy enough.
Yep.
The wildlife moves through those trees at different times in their lives. Great bedding area for your deer. Gophers live there, you know, turkeys, quail. You know, we don't destroy the habitat.
It's clear this land needs to continue working for Florida, cleaning our air and water.
If this land wasn't for timber, what would it be used for?
Well, a very smart man that I know in South Florida said that the last crop we'll grow on our agricultural lands are houses, and I don't want that.
You ready for today?
Always, yes. We love what we do.
I've been managing Florida's land since I got out of college in 1974.
Where are we driving right now?
We're going into our burn unit. We're gonna be burning both sides of the road here today.
Just me and you?
Oh, heavens no, we got a crew down here.
We got a crew?
Oh, a first-class crew, the A-team.
Sam's crew is a mix of veteran burn techs, biologist, and his son, Zach.
We're here to burn today, Chad. I'm glad you made it. We wear protective gear so we don't get sparks and embers on us.
Okay.
So we brought you a set of Nomex pants and Nomex shirt.
Awesome. So take this off.
Please take the God-forsaken shirt off, okay? So
there it is.
Yeah,
there it is.
Florida's number one in prescribed fire. Reason Florida doesn't have a whole lot of wildfires is because they burn so much.
Sam had to get a written prescription from the state in order to legally burn today.
Our winds are supposed to be east today so far. They're squirrely. It's going to be a crazy burn today.
Let's start right here next to this palmetto. One of the tools of our trade
okay.
is a drip torch. So we got a wick up top. It's full of fuel already.
Okay.
We got two check valves. So we'll open both of these valves up, and then we'll kind of dip a little fuel out, get the wick wet. Should be ready to go.
Oh, good. that's instantaneous.
Yes, sir.
Even though fire sounds scary, it's the best ecological tool that you can use on a native landscape.
So you can see our firing fuels here, the grasses and everything are ready to carry fire.
Gosh, this is incredible. I hear that crackling. Is that good,
sir.
Right? That crackling?
That means it's dry. It's ready.
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir.
This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
How's Before that? I knew it, the air was filled with smoke,
right.
And the burn was underway.
Okay. This is work, Sam. We just getting started.
Sam and his team use utility vehicles to lay fire lines fast. Today's strategy is to start a line of fire on three sides and let it meet in the middle.
Wildfires burn so hot and intense because there's a heavy buildup of fuel. So the more you use prescribed fire, the less chance you have a wildfire.
When forests are allowed to become overgrown with underbrush, they generate fuel. It's this buildup of fuel that can turn a lightning strike into an out-of-control wildfire.
Old-timers will tell you that in the old days when fire was more prevalent, our forests were more open. You could walk through the forest, you wouldn't have all this undergrowth. We have all that undergrowth now because we've suppressed fire for so many years.
Anything that was alive here is either moved on or...
It's got out. It's got out long ago.
When these controlled burns are happening, wildlife usually leave the area to just later return because, you know, these fires regenerate the habitat and every new growth that comes back is very nutritious.
This is what success looks like?
This is success. It's black. I mean, it looks gorgeous. A couple months from now, you won't even be able to tell this was burned.
And just like that, we burned 10 acres in just under 45 minutes. My heart was still pounding. What an adrenaline rush.
We didn't get as much done as we wanted to today, but it makes our life easier when it rains in the afternoon.
What a burn.
It was a great day.
Oh, my gosh. The rain, is this one of the benefits of burning in the summer?
Yes. You have a short little window to do everything, and whenever that window opens up, you go to work, and then Mother Nature usually comes in, and our trees are fine, you know, so we came out good today.
Successful burn.
Very successful burn, yes.
Cleanup involves the team walking the burn site, extinguishing any hot spots left from the fire.
Like a piece of watermelon?
Oh, man. God bless you.
You're welcome.
I mean, it's clear watching you out here with your son. You love what you do.
It's been a good life.
I mean, when you look around here, what do you see?
6 months from now, you'll never know it was burned.
Is this protecting paradise?
Yes, we're managing paradise.
Range Control Vector, request access to South Tactical for the next hour.
Temperature range control approved on South Tactical as requested.
The journey to understand the major land stakeholders at our state has me at a military bombing range.
Do you think most of Floridians realize this is going on here?
I don't think so, no. It's kind of a success story if they don't know.
Just as far as the eye can see, old military vehicles.
Range Operations Officer Buck McLaughlin is giving me a tour of Avon Park's bombing range.
This hangar dates back to World War II. Yeah, we've got two H-60s, heavy Air Force Rescue Squadron helicopters coming in.
Wow.
That's what we're getting to see right here.
That was incredible.
That's good stuff.
We conduct some of the most intense, hazardous activities with ordnance deliveries right in amongst, literally next door to some pristine Florida habitat for 13 threatened and endangered species and incredible diversity of plant species, and it all coexists. It all works really well together.
The Avon Park Air Force Range is 106,000 acres across Polk and Highlands County. Only 20% of the land is used for active military training. The rest is a mix of conservation lands, timberlands, cow pastures, and areas for recreational use.
Department of Defense owns about 650,000 acres of Florida. This is something that's evolved over 200 years that Florida's been part of the country.
Many people are shocked to learn that there are actually more threatened and endangered species on military installations across our country than are in our national parks.
Research assistant Hannah Miller looks for one of those threatened species.
So Hannah, what are we looking for?
We're looking for Florida scrub jays. So I hear some over there. Mostly I'm listening to hear them make a little sound. So they do kind of like a squawk, like that.
While we're hearing that little squawk, we're also hearing bombs going off
yes.
behind us.
Shh.
Oh, right there.
There she is, yeah.
So cool. What's so special about this bird?
Right now, they're threatened species, so not quite endangered.
Yeah.
But they are federally threatened, which means that their numbers are not doing well.
Yeah. What's the biggest threat to the scrub jay right now?
It's us and our development, our sprawling, spreading development.
Florida jay, or the scrub jay, is Florida's only endemic bird, which means it's the only bird that only lives in Florida. It has very specific habitat needs. It relies on scrub. And so when you lose scrub, you're losing that habitat, and that's why we're in danger of losing them.
Archbold has been coming in to monitor the scrub jays and some other endangered species here mm-hmm. on the bombing range to help to bolster populations. And to do that, we have to, you know, really be careful about the management that's happening for the scrub habitat that mm-hmm. they need to be in.
There's those overlapping goals between the military mission and conservation that I think really gives us a unique opportunity here in Florida.
Having served in the military myself, it feels good to know our military understands the important role they play in conservation and is seeking partnerships to make this valuable land they own accessible for research. Growth and development are putting pressure on our undeveloped land. And it's this land that's so critical to our quality of life.
I look 20 years down the road and we're gonna lose wild Florida if we don't have these ranches.
We have so many people who are so disconnected from the land. So it's important to help educate the public and the policymakers.
Everybody has their little role in protecting paradise, and our job is managing paradise.
We've got to take care of this land. If we don't, we're going to lose it.
The question that will define our future is how much land can we develop? And how much do we need to save to ensure the Florida we love will be here for the next generation? Want to protect our paradise? Visit conservationfla.org.
Great, thank you, Mrs. Dean. Members, questions of the presenter in the presentation? You've got some remarks first.
I do.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got in front of you. So we would have had popcorn and Cokes for some of you guys. I know you're having a hard time staying awake, but thank you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. You're welcome. Again, thank you so much for having us here today and for inviting us to show Protect Our Paradise, Our Land. I had the pleasure of presenting before this committee last year on the Florida Wildlife Corridor, and it brings me a lot of joy to talk to you more today about land and land conservation and the status of the work being done here in Florida. Again, my name is Tracy Dean. I'm a sixth generation Floridian and the president and CEO of Conservation Florida. And like the chair said, with me today is our board chair, Matt Pierce, who is an eighth generation cattleman and past president of the Florida Cattlemen's Association, and Pat Durden, who is a North Florida cattleman and the current president of the Cattlemen's Association. Now, we recently launched a formal partnership with the Florida Cattlemen's Association, a partnership we're really excited about. The partnership includes a campaign that harnesses social media and advocacy, public outreach, and more, all aimed at reinforcing the interconnectedness of ranching and conservation in Florida. And for his presidency, Mr. Durden's slogan is cows keep Florida green. And that's a sentiment that Conservation Florida fully supports. And really, it's because we have seen firsthand how critical conservation of our ranch lands is to the health of our state and our state's future. Also with us today, as the chair said, are two colleagues of mine. And I'm thrilled that they're with me today. I'll say, all three of us are land conservancies or land trusts. And you'll hear a little bit more about what that means. And you'll hear about how each of our organizations really serve our state in varying ways. So we just saw Protect Our Paradise presented by Conservation Florida, a 6-episode docuseries that is now streaming live on Discover Florida. I encourage all of you to tune in. It is family friendly and completely and utterly bingeable. But this is a joint venture of Crawford Entertainment and Conservation Florida and was funded by a philanthropic grant made by Lauren and Arnie Bellini. And we are so very, very proud of this series, which we hope will shine a spotlight on the significant efforts of conservationists who are at the forefront of protecting wild Florida, from ranchers to photographers to artists to scientists to businesses and our state agencies. And, of course, people like Shane and Nick and me who are just crazy enough to do land protection work. So these episodes, again, there are 6. We have our corridor, our water, our land, our growth, our coasts, and our wildlife. And they feature organizations from across the state, many of which are in your districts, working to protect the environment at home. All with one goal in mind, and that's keeping Florida, Florida. So a little bit about Conservation Florida and the work that we do. Conservation Florida is a statewide accredited land conservancy, and we're working to conserve Florida's water, wildlife, wild places, and permanently connect a functional Florida wildlife corridor. Our work focuses on the protection of our native plants and wildlife, fresh water, wildlife corridors, family farms and ranches, the economy, and nature-based recreation. Now, we work to conserve land by facilitating, purchasing, or accepting donations of land and conservation easements, serving as a trusted community partner to support statewide land conservation and through effective advocacy, education, and programming. But today we're going to focus on our land protection work. This is actually one of my favorite photos that Carlton Ward took last year of a project that we completed in partnership with the state, the Department of Division of State Lands on the Rainbow River. So the way that we work, it may mean that we're moving a property through a state program. And that includes DEP's Division of State Lands, Rural and Family Lands, maybe through a water management district, Florida Communities Trust, and more. These programs will buy land outright or buy a conservation easement. Now, the limitations set forth on those easements, they vary from program to program, as does the purpose for the properties. So perhaps one of those properties becomes a state park, a state forest, or continues to be working land. Our work also may mean that we're collaborating with federal partners. And this could be through a variety of federal programs. Shane and Nick, I'm sure, will get into some of those programs in a little bit more detail. But some of those may include the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Services ALE program, or the USDA's Forest Legacy Program. Now, it's important to note that a lot of these programs require match. What I mean by that is that in order to make an acquisition happen, these programs will fund typically up to 50, sometimes 70% of an acquisition. And that's why it's so important to have funded state programs and local programs that we're able to bring those federal dollars to the state of Florida and make Florida acquisitions happen, and really further leverage state investment in conservation. Another great partner in Florida is the Department of Defense, who you met today. And we'll get into their incredible role and contributions to land conservation here shortly. Now, land trusts also accept donated lands and donated easements. And that is a contribution by philanthropist landowners throughout the state who care a lot about the future of their properties and choose to make that philanthropic donation to conserve their land permanently. Land trusts throughout the state hold and steward those easements in perpetuity. Now, Conservation Florida was founded in 1999 by David Carr. He was the son of pioneering conservationists. Archie Carr, who is recognized as one of the foremost conservationists of the 20th century, and really the founder of conservation biology. And his mother, Marjorie Harris Carr, helped establish Payne's Prairie and led the efforts to stop the Cross Florida Barge Canal. And we were founded based on two reasons. The Carrs wanted to see a statewide land conservancy that would focus on the protection of rural lands, on working lands, on ranches. And at the time, it wasn't as prevalent as it is today. And two, to focus on what was then known as greenways, as his wife Peggy was one of the scientists that was behind the, well, what we now know as the Florida Wildlife Corridor. Now, since 1999, we've been proud to work with landowners from Pensacola to the Keys, our state's incredible agencies, land trusts, philanthropists, and more to save land and play our part in keeping Florida, Florida. And with us today are two of those fellow land trusts, Ducks Unlimited and Tall Timbers. And we are all a part of what is called the Alliance of Florida Land Trusts. We have about 22 members of the Alliance today. I'm very proud to serve as our president. Shane serves as our treasurer. Now, we are all land conservancies, land trusts, but again, we vary in scope, mission, and even region. Some serve very defined local regions like the Indian River Land Trust or the Tampa Bay Conservancy. Some are national like Ducks Unlimited and the Trust for Public Land. Some global like the Nature Conservancy, while others are extremely successful in regional conservation like Tall Timbers, Alachua Conservation Trust, North Florida Land Trust, Conservation Foundation of the Gulf Coast, all members of the Alliance. Now, the Alliance provides a place for land trusts working in Florida to exchange ideas, formulate policy positions, provide support to one another, and collaborate on conservation initiatives. The work that our land trusts do across the state cannot be understated. When good land conservation happens in your community, there's a really good chance that there's a land trust working with your community to see it come to fruition. We absolutely love partnership, we love collaboration, and we love working with local, state, and federal partners to bring conservation goals to fruition. It's because land trusts, we often have ties with the communities that we serve, And frankly, working with a land trust as a landowner may be the deciding factor between making a conservation deal happen or not, because land trusts are providing a lot of expertise, sort of liaise between the complexities of what a land conservation deal entails. So that's a little bit about Conservation Florida and the work that land trusts do around the state. So let's talk a little bit about Protect Our Paradise and the folks that you saw on today's episode. Now, you heard Chad at the very end of the episode. He said growth and development are putting pressure on our undeveloped land, and it's this land that's so critical to our quality of life. And he's right. But I want to make sure that you know that we are not anti-development. What we are is pro-saving the special places that will keep our state thriving. We're pro-saving what needs to be saved and paving what needs to be paved. Now, in this episode, we featured four segments: ranch lands, timberlands, military installations, and land management. We chose these because they're often misunderstood in the role that they play in conservation and our state's health. Beginning with agriculture and ranch lands. Now, we featured Pierce Cattle Company, a multi-generational cattle company who has witnessed firsthand the enormous change our state has faced in now, I believe, 9 generations of Floridians. Now, when I talk to Floridians about conserving ranches, they imagine a ton of cows and a muddy pasture, and they don't quite connect with why I'm so passionate about it. And that's a part of the reason why we really wanted to feature this and get this message before as many Floridians as possible. Now, these working lands are absolutely critical to protect. They are a piece of the greater conservation puzzle and the Florida Wildlife Corridor vision. The Florida Wildlife Corridor would not exist today without Florida's working lands. Roughly 3.2 million acres of ranch lands make up about 18% of the existing corridor, and less than 20% of those are currently protected. So we have a lot of work to do if we want to achieve a functional, connected corridor. Now, Matt said, I look 20 years down the road, and we're going to lose Wild Florida if we don't have these ranches. And he's absolutely right. You also met today Lieutenant Colonel retired Buck McLaughlin. He's an absolute delight to work with. Conservation Florida gets to work with the bombing range quite a bit in their conservation efforts. And like our ranchers, when I tell Floridians that the Department of Defense or the Air Force are one of our primary conservation partners, it just doesn't really make a ton of sense to them. Now, here in Florida, we're actually home to 2 sentinel landscapes. And to put that into context, we have about 12 sentinel landscapes in our nation, and we're the only state with 2 of them. Now, the first is the Northwest Florida Sentinel Landscape, which spans from about Pensacola to Tallahassee. And we also have the Avon Park Air Force Range Sentinel Landscape that is in the greater Northern Everglades region. These landscapes promote land use around military installations, ranges, and operating spaces that's compatible with national defense. But what's interesting is that this is also highly compatible with land conservation. In order to promote military readiness, it may be at times best to keep the land surrounding our installations free from development and to continue working, to continue in agriculture, or continue to be wild. For example, we recently closed on a ranch near the range, and we partnered with the state of Florida and the Department of Defense, the Air Force, to bring that to fruition. It's an additional part of the Florida Wildlife Corridor because of this added funding, another funding source that really complements the state's investment in conservation. As Buck said, we've got to take care of this land. If we don't, we're going to lose it. Which leads me to Sam Van Hook. We've also had the pleasure of working with him and his fire crew really throughout the state. And he showed us in this episode the hard work and importance of fire and land management here on our lands. Just like ranching and military installations, a lot of Floridians don't equate fire with good conservation. And that's a part of the reason why we included fire in this episode. Now, at Conservation Florida, we do burn the lands that we hold, and we encourage and facilitate burning on the easements that we steward and the landowners that we work with. But there is really nobody better, in my opinion, to learn about the science of fire in Florida than Tall Timbers. And so I know we'll hear about their work here in a little while. Finally, you met Lynetta Greiner, who did a wonderful job introducing viewers to timberlands and the economic services they provide. And like the other three, most Floridians, when they hear that we're conserving timberlands, the first question is, well, aren't you cutting all those trees down? How could that possibly be conservation? And that's why we featured this incredible and important industry in the conservation story. Nevertheless, there are programs designed and available for the acquisition of timberlands that keep them working, keep them in production, keep them growing, keep them storing water and carbon, contributing to the economy while not becoming the last crop. Now, I've talked with this committee before about the importance of funding Florida Forever, the umbrella, the Department of Division of State Lands, and of course, funding rural and family lands and the importance of funding that program. Conservation Florida submitted 14 projects just in this last round, and we're just so thrilled to see both programs thriving and how important and complementary they are to our state's conservation vision. But we also are wanting to talk to you a little bit about another funding source, and that's local county and municipal ballot initiatives or investments by commissions statewide. In 2022, voters in Polk, Brevard, Indian River, Alachua, Pasco, and Nassau counties turned out in extraordinary numbers to cast a vote for Wild Florida and invest in land conservation. Recently, Seminole commissioners have also chosen to invest in land conservation again. And those are additional funding sources that further leverage state funding. So as the state invests in land conservation, you have partners not only at the federal level, but many partners at the county levels as well. So this brings me close to the end of my presentation. Lynetta Greiner said, we have so many people who are so disconnected from the land, so it's important to help educate the public and the policymakers. And so once again, I thank you, Chair Payne. I thank everybody on this committee for the opportunity to speak with you, the opportunity to share Protect Our Paradise with you, and for your support of land conservation. Your investment in conservation last year was historic. Historic. The funding in the last 3 years is exactly the type of funding that we need in order to save what we need to save so that we can grow where we need to grow. Now, you've all heard me say before that consistent and meaningful funding of our state's most successful programs is critical to the future of our state, to the health of our water, our wildlife, our economy, our children, and our children's children. Conservation Florida, actually, here last year, celebrated your investment in land conservation by lighting the old Capitol green. And so we are so very, very grateful. And the Florida Wildlife Corridor vision and the support from this legislature is visionary and extraordinary. And my gratitude to you, like my love for Florida, runs very deep. We have so much work left to do, and we are just getting started. You've propelled the approval in the last 3 years of over 160,000 acres of Wild Florida. It's extraordinary. And land trusts around the state have also been working alongside to close on land trust acquisitions that we, as of September, was at about 40,000 acres, but most of us do our closings at year end, so I'm guessing there's probably 10,000 or so more. So we're looking at over 200,000 acres. What we're doing in the state today is excellent, and it's because of your support that we're able to do this work. Now, like Chad said, the question that will define our future is how much land can we develop and how much do we need to save to ensure the Florida we love will be here for the next generation. We are your partners. We look forward to working with you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Members, questions? Representative Huntoski.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Tracy, thank you for the movie. Although at one point I was getting a little nervous that we're getting into controversial territory with the scrub jay, and I didn't know if like the Florida state bird subject was coming up again, but I'm so glad we kind of moved on from that. I did have a question though, when we're talking about the land acquisition programs in the state of Florida, what are your thoughts, and do you think that the state's land acquisition programs are succeeding and working?
You recognize.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Chair. I do. I think that, and if you go and read back on the statute, that is some of the most beautiful legislation written. Our programs are designed to succeed. And funding these programs means that we will. And not only that, but you have land conservancies and land trusts across the state that are partnering with agencies. We're bringing in federal partners, local partners, and willing landowners to make sure that we have great projects that are connecting the corridor, conserving our most special places. But yes, I do think that when our programs are well-funded, they're built to succeed. Thank you for that question. I also would say, I think you'll get a really robust look at land conservation after all three of our presentations. And then Matt Pierce and Pat Durner are also available for questions at that time, too.
Members, other questions? Mrs. Dean, thank you. I'll make some final comments after everyone presents, but thank you for your presentation today.
Thank you.
Tell Chad Crawford we appreciate him.
Oh, bye.
All right, thank you for that. Next, we'll have Mr. Shane Wellendorf from Tall Timbers, who is the Land Conservancy Director for Tall Timbers. Many of you may not know where anything about Tall Timbers. I've visited there a couple of times, and it's a remarkable place. So, Mr. Wellendorf, thank you for being here today.
Chairman, thank you for the opportunity. From my perspective, we are in unprecedented times for land conservation, and honestly, the state of Florida is leading the way, and I appreciate the opportunity to share the perspective of Tall Timbers here in North Florida. So, a little bit about Tall Timbers. Most people know us as an ecological research station. We've been around since 1958. We do extensive wildlife research and prescribed fire research. But we're also a regional land trust working in South Georgia and North Florida and helping landowners with conservation easements. We're also landowners. We have a 3,900-acre property right here in Leon County, just north of the capital here. That property is a historic hunting property within this Red Hills region. Tall Timbers is the birthplace of prescribed fire science. Florida is the home of prescribed fire, and it's right here at Tall Timbers, and we're just up the road from y'all. You're welcome to come visit us anytime and learn about prescribed fire. We also have the largest quail research program here in the United States. In addition to Tall Timbers, we have a property in Jefferson County. It's a 9,100-acre property that's also a historic hunting tract. And this is a property that allows us to put our research into practice and to be good land managers, good land stewards. This property is also in conservation easement with the Suwannee River Water Management District. So not only do we hold conservation easements, but we're a conservation easement landowner. Both of these properties are part of what we call the Greater Red Hills Region. So here is a map of North Florida, and you can see the Tallahassee Urban Service Area there in blue. Our two properties are in red, encircled there, right along the Florida-Georgia line there. And everything that you see in brown are these old historic hunting properties. Many of these have been around for over 100 years. They're almost all contiguous. They cover almost 400,000 acres. That's almost the same size as the Apalachicola National Forest. These properties have a long history of hunting, in particular quail hunting, but also great land management and generating income from timber and agriculture. It's a unique and special region with many properties that are owned by multi-generational families. The Red Hills is really one of those parts of Florida that have been designed and evolved and maintained with frequent fire. Without the frequent prescribed fire, we would not have healthy wild quail populations. There are very few places left in the South, very few places really left in Florida, that have huntable, sustainable wild quail populations. The Red Hills region is one of them, and it's because we have this frequent prescribed fire. Once you get out of the city, and especially those who like to take the scenic route, I recommend you take US Highway 27 next time you go head south. And when you cross into Jefferson County, you begin to see these open pine forests, like this one here. Notice the open canopies, the pine-dominated canopies, and then this diverse ground cover. This is an upland pine forest managed with frequent prescribed fire. These are forests that are extremely diverse and healthy and productive. And you can go all around this North Florida region in and about the Big Bend. You can go just north of the little town of Miccosukee in Leon County and see these mature pine forests like this. This longleaf pine forest right here has longleaf that are anywhere from 2 to 400 years old. Just some spectacular portions of our state. This is just north of Bradfordville on US Highway 319. In March, this is a common occurrence for us. We've got landowners all across this region lighting frequent prescribed fire. But it's not only the private landowners that are doing a lot of burning. Even our public agency partners are doing a lot of burning. This was a view from the top of the Capitol one pretty spring day, and fires happening down in the National Forest. So prescribed fire is really a part of our region. It's an integral part of our region, as Tracy's video showed. I mean, it is part of Florida. So we're blessed in this region in that we have these extensive public lands all along the Gulf, but then you have these private lands that are right along the Florida-Georgia line. And what connects them together are the watersheds. And from our perspective, these watersheds can serve as a linkage and serve as corridors between private lands and our public lands. And these key watersheds are the Osceola River, the St. Marks River, the Okolocne River, and the Apalachicola. Here's just a few examples, a couple of photos of these. The Okolocne River and the Osceola River are both designated outstanding Florida waters. We have some amazing natural lakes here as well. Lake Ammonia is a 6,000-acre lake. It's a natural lake, same as Lake Miccosukee. And these have spectacular bass fishing, great duck hunting. But even more importantly, these are directly connected to our aquifer and are tied into the aquifer through sinkholes. Both of these lakes feed into our springs. Lake Ammonia feeds into Wakulla Springs, and Lake Miccosukee feeds into the Wasissa Springs. Very, very critical parts of our landscape, things that are worthy of conservation. So we're really blessed in North Florida and throughout the Big Bend that our conservation values have remained. We've got land uses that are compatible with conservation. Again, we've got this hunting culture and this hunting history, but we also have these timberlands, as Tracy highlighted, and agriculture as well. We've got this long-term use of frequent prescribed fire that has kept these lands productive for wildlife and for timber. But even more importantly than that, I think we've got landowners that have a very strong conservation ethic. And it's because of those landowners that we've maintained the region that we have. And even though these are rural lands, they're still extremely productive and they're still providing to our local economy. A study that was done by Neil Fleckenstein in 2018 showed that these private landowners in the Red Hills are contributing nearly $200 million of economic impact in 1 year. They're providing over 1,000 direct jobs in our region. So these are rural lands that are still very productive, still providing dollars to our economy in a critical part of our region. Even though we have this great landowner base and this economy, we're also feeling the development pressures here. It's evident. Tallahassee's growing, and we feel that pressure. So at Tall Timbers, the Land Conservancy, you know, our goal here is to protect these natural resources, keep these land uses going, protect our water, protect our lands for the sustainability and greater good of the region. We do that through four primary ways. The first and foremost is private land conservations, primarily conservation easements, landowner outreach and extension services, regional planning and advocacy. So, like I said, our land conservancy has been around since 1991. We've completed over 190 transactions. Almost all of those are donated conservation easements. Many of you in Florida are very used to dealing with purchased conservation easements, but donated conservation easements have their place as well. We hold over 157,000 acres in conservation easements and have 135 landowners that we work with. We have a lot of repeat customers. To give you some context of our conservation easement portfolio relative to the state of Florida, Division of State Lands, DEP, they have about 302,000 acres in conservation easement that they steward and about 150 landowners. So we're comparable to the state of Florida as far as conservation easements go. And even though we've had a very successful past, we continue to grow. We're completing between 5 and 10 donated conservation easements a year, and we're working with another 10 to 20 landowners at a minimum that are interested in land conservation projects, mainly Florida projects, Florida Forever, rural and family lands, etc. So Tall Timbers is an accredited land trust. We follow land trust standards and practices, and as an accredited land trust, it means that we're independently reviewed by an independent commission every 5 to 7 years. You know, we're in the business of perpetuity, so it's important that we have organizations that are structured for the long haul. So this independent review goes through our corporate structure, they go through our books, they look at our transactions, they make sure that we're meeting our stewardship responsibilities for conservation easement monitoring. I think that this is really a seal to show that we are dedicated to the long haul. The exciting thing is, as Tracy pointed out, most of the land trusts in the state of Florida are accredited. The majority of them follow land trust standards and practices. We have a great standard for land conservation through this program. So I wanna touch just a little bit on conservation easements, because that is the bulk of the model of transactions that Tall Timbers does. Keep in mind that a conservation easement is a perpetual agreement between a landowner and a land trust or governmental entity like the state of Florida. It runs with the land, it's in perpetuity. How long that is, I don't know, but it's a really long time. So it's important to emphasize that. The way it does this is by transferring a portion of the land rights to safeguard that property's conservation values. Oftentimes it's limiting or restricting the ability to subdivide or break that tract of land into smaller and smaller parcels. It's gonna limit the types of new construction, and it will also limit the types of commercial and industrial uses on that. Even though you have a conservation easement on it, this landowner still retains that property in its use. And remember that conservation easements can include these working lands. Just because it's in a conservation easement doesn't mean that that property can't be productive for the local economy and for the landowner. So from my perspective, conservation easements have some real clear benefits. And first and foremost is that it keeps private lands in private ownership. To me, that is the most important. Our landowners have shown over and again that they are excellent stewards of their lands, and they can provide great indirect public benefits through their management. So this is a way for us to get conservation but still keep it in private ownership. The other big thing is that the management responsibilities remain with the landowner, not with the state, not with the land trust, with the landowner. Those long-term management expenses are maintained with the landowner. To me, that's a really critical point. When it comes to buying conservation easements are far more effective than buying property. Typically, in the Red Hills region, our conservation easements are valued somewhere between 30 to 50% of that property's fair market value. So you really are able to buy conservation at a discount. Conservation easements are really quite adaptable. They're very customizable to the land and to the landowner's needs. And again, as Tracy's pointed out, conservation easements mean that these are properties that still can be productive for our local economies, for the landowners. We want conservation easements that give that landowner flexibility for the property to earn an income to pay for itself. Even though this is private lands It's important to really highlight that there's great indirect public benefits. The public gets great benefits. We're ensuring that we've got these lands for our food and fiber. We're protecting our water resources. We're protecting our areas for aquifer recharge. We're protecting our habitats for wildlife and rare species. So we get great indirect public benefits without the long-term obligation. From an organization like Tall Timbers, and in North Florida where prescribed fire matters, conservation easements are a great tool to ensure that we can keep prescribed fire on the land. Again, keeping them in these rural land uses, they're very compatible with prescribed fire. Minimizing subdivision really helps. It's much easier to burn large contiguous blocks than subdivided blocks. The other big thing here is that conservation easements help to decrease the potential with smoke conflicts. Our biggest challenge in the state of Florida when it comes to prescribed fire is our smoke. By keeping lands in conservation, we are going to minimize those smoke conflicts. It's going to be really the key thing going forward. Conservation easements can also provide greater protections to our wetlands and water resources. Our State Forestry Commission has an excellent best management practices to protect water resources, but conservation easements can go above and beyond that, and it's an excellent way to improve protections for water and wetlands. And then we can make adaptable management plans for these rare species. You know, the other part to take away about benefits of working with the land trust, and Tracy highlighted this really well, is that we have a connection with our private landowners. The key to our success, whether it's the state of Florida, Tall Timbers, doesn't matter, it's going to be who has the connection with our landowners. And that is key. Our landowners, we've been working with them for a really long time. They understand Tall Timbers. They see our perspective. We're aligned, and they have trust and faith in us, and they're willing to talk through conservation options with us. Again, you know, for our landowners that move forward with a conservation easement held by Tall Timbers, we consider that that conservation easement just the beginning of our very long-term relationship. We want to see that landowner succeed. We want to see that landowner's property and stewardship maintain and to be able to improve. Again, conservation easements are very adaptable, and you know, we can be flexible to meet the needs of that landowner and the conservation purposes tied to the land. Most of the land trusts in the state have a very good familiarity with donated conservation easements and the federal tax incentives that come with it. As I pointed out, Tall Timbers, we have a very successful model of working with landowners for donated conservation easements. It can be a good incentive. And then land trusts are very innovative. Tracy highlighted a couple of different ways that that you know they are able to bring in multiple funding sources and to bring partners together in order to get land conservation done. And then we have funding opportunities available to us as nonprofits that are not available to the state. One example is the Project Assistance Fund through the Partnership for Gulf Coast Land Conservation. So, you know, we work with a whole spectrum of landowners with a whole spectrum of needs. My take is our staff does an excellent job of trying to cater that information to what the needs are of the landowner. We can give them the whole menu of conservation options when they are interested in moving forward with conservation easement. We can explain the pros and cons of donated easements versus conservation easements. We can cover the requirements of these things. And if there's an interest in pursuing a state program like Florida Forever, we can be there to hold their hand right along the way. And that can be in a variety of different ways and in a variety of different levels. But at the end of the day, we're there to help that landowner however they need to move conservation forward on their property. So Tracy highlighted it, but you all need to be acknowledged for the audacious conservation goals that have been set in the state of Florida. The Florida Wildlife Corridor is trying to conserve 50% of the state. Think about that for a second. 50% of the state permanently protected. It's an awesome goal. This is supported by preeminent scientists like E.O. Wilson. 50% of the state permanently protected. If we want to achieve that goal, it's going to have to be through private lands conservation. So 31% permanently protected. Like I said, we have a great start, 10.1 million acres along that goal. But look at the amount of the state that is in public ownership versus the amount of the state that's in conservation easements. Only a small percentage of those conservation lands are in conservation easements. Take a much more refined look at the county level. Notice that you've got counties like Leon and Jefferson County that have a fairly high percentage of its county that's permanently protected. But you have other counties just in our region like Taylor and Madison counties, only a small percentage of their counties are permanently protected. The other thing that's interesting to me is even the variance between these counties, notice that the amount of acres or the amount of percentage in conservation easements is very low. Overall, there is a lot of opportunity there. So this is another map of North Florida there, and you can see Tallahassee in the center. Areas in green are conservation. The dark green, of course, is our public lands along the Gulf. And then as you move northward, you see the lighter green areas. Almost all of these are conservation easement lands. And through all of our efforts, the state, the feds, the land trusts, you know, we have developed these very significant acres and hubs of conservation throughout. But notice the amount of white space in there. The white space is private lands that have the potential for our future growth. This is where we need to be working in order to build our corridor, to make our connections. This is our areas of opportunity. So tall timbers, just like the state of Florida, we are developing our tools that meet our conservation needs to try to prioritize where we want to work and landowners that we want to work with in order to be able to make these conservation connections. This is an example of our wetlands prioritization tool. And as you can see, we're trying to, again, expand that amount of conservation and make connections throughout this North Florida region. The other thing that we're doing is to really try to expand the state programs right here in North Florida. One example was in 2021 and 2022, Tall Timbers worked with 18 landowners to add another 18,000 acres in this North Florida region all along the Osceola and Wasissa watershed. You can see how adding these lands into in and around our existing public lands are filling in the gaps. This is a whole spectrum of landowners that came. We had landowners with as few acres as 100 and some with nearly 9,000 acres. Almost all of them were interested in pursuing conservation easements. We've also been working with landowners to try to fill in these gaps through Florida Forever. Again, you can see the areas in green that are in conservation, many of them in conservation easements. The areas in red are Florida Forever priority list areas that we've added over the years. The light yellow is the Florida Wildlife Corridor. And you can see in our North Florida region how lands that are being added to our Florida Forever list are going to serve as the linkages. It's going to be able to connect these existing conservation lands together. We're at a point now where we're able to actually make the corridor a reality in North Florida. We were very excited in 2023 to have the opportunity to help landowners through the Department of Agriculture's Rural and Family Lands Protection Program, just like Tracy. This is something that's been on pause for many years now, and we're excited to have these opportunities, and we were working with our local landowners. This is a great program. It's a conservation easement program, and it's really focused in on rural working lands. Keep in mind that almost every one of the conservation easements that Tall Timbers works on include rural working lands. So this is really a great fit, and I think it's going to be another powerful tool in the toolbox. The other one that I want to highlight is a grant that Tall Timbers received from the Natural Resources Conservation Service Regional Conservation Partnership Program. I'll only say it once, RCPP. This is a five-year grant that we were given to work inside the Osceola, Wasissa Rivers and the St. Marks, Wakulla Rivers. to be able to purchase conservation easements. So these are federal dollars that are coming to the land trust to be able to use to purchase conservation easements. The grant allows for a 50% purchase and allows for the other 50% to either be purchased or to be donated. And the buyer of that other 50% and the holder of that conservation easement can be Tall Timbers or other eligible partners. We're excited that Department of Ag has agreed to be an eligible partner, and I think this is going to be a great opportunity in a way to bring in federal dollars to help with our private lands. It's going to allow us to stretch our conservation easement dollars even further. Tall Timbers is not the only land trust in the state that has an RCPP. There are five others in the state, and there's more to come. In the Inflation Reduction Act, they approved $4.9 billion just for RCPP over the next 5 years. There's more dollars to come. This is a great opportunity for the state, for land trusts, to work together to bring in federal dollars to help with conservation. The RCPP also helps with land management, and this is one of the things that excites us here at Tall Timbers. Not only can we help a landowner with conservation easement, but we can help them do land management improvements on their property. Forest stand improvements, prescribed fire assistance, and tree plantings are just some examples. So my big takeaways, I think that we've got amazing opportunities for expanding conservation in the state of Florida, especially with conservation easements, especially with our private landowners. The land trusts throughout the state are gonna be your key. We're your boots on the ground. We can help you get connected with landowners, and we can help those landowners through this process. We're here to facilitate these transactions and make everyone successful. Not only that, but we're also actively completing conservation easements, holding conservation easements, and helping landowners with stewardship. And finally, we're collaborative. As Tracy pointed out, we're all very connected. We are working in cooperation with one another. We are not competitive. We're working together. And we want to work with our state agency partners, and we have a great rapport with them. And really and truly, I think there's amazing opportunities when we work together. Thank you.
Mr. Wellendorf, thank you for your presentation. Members, do we have questions? Yes, I will start on the end down there with Representative Andrade.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. When you're engaging in the prescribed burns, are the contractors, whoever's retained to conduct the prescribed burn, are they required to have a bond or any type of casualty insurance before engaging in that burn?
Recognized.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. A prescribed burner is like any other contractor working on the land. They're going to need to ensure that they have proper insurance to be able to cover that. Prescribed burn liability and prescribed burn insurance is a tough one and can be difficult for many. But yes, they're carrying insurance to be able to complete that burn. I will make the point that the state of Florida has a certified burn program, right, which helps to reduce that liability that comes to a certified burner. And it's absolutely critical for us to continue with prescribed burning on our private lands.
Do you have a follow-up question as an attorney?
Yes, Chair. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're recognized.
Are you familiar with the five-mile swamp fire over in Santa Rosa County?
Yes, sir.
Was there a bond or insurance on that prescribed burn?
I don't have an answer for you. Sorry.
All right. Have you looked at what caused that burn, that caused that wildfire?
I don't know that burn well enough to speak on it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
I would just say they've led a lot as far as prescribed burns in Florida. I'll talk about that more in a minute, but Florida's the best in the nation at it. So thanks to the work they do and the science they use behind it. Representative Hunchusky.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I appreciated that you're all working together and the numerous times you referenced what Tracy had mentioned during her presentation. I wanted to ask you the same question. Do you share Tracy's viewpoint on the land acquisition program in the state of Florida on its effectiveness and if it's working?
You're recognized.
Thank you. The state of Florida, you know, we are one of the leaders east of the Mississippi. We have one of the most effective programs going for land acquisition. You go to the state of Georgia, it's very different. They have a program that will put about $20 million in a year, and only about 8% of that state is permanently protected, to give you some example. So our programs are very effective in doing a great job of conserving the state.
Other questions? Mr. Wellendorf, thank you so much for your presentation today. We appreciate you being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, members, next we have returning to Florida from Ducks Unlimited, Mr. Nick Wiley. It's good to see you again. I'm glad you're here today. So we're looking forward to your presentation as well.
Well, thank you, Chairman. I'm delighted to be back to home in Florida. Been away for a few years and a lot of memories in this very room. But it's a pleasure to be here. I want to say first, grateful that y'all are taking the time and you're at this busy time as session's getting cranked up. You're taking the time to stop and look at this important issue and learn about it and dig in and continue to take care of Florida. And I travel a lot over the country now with a national organization, and it makes me so proud to tell people what Florida does conservation and all the success and all the support that you provide that really does start here and resonates across the whole state and the country. You set an example that a lot of states really do try to emulate. So thank you for that. Today I want to talk. We talk about protecting wild Florida, protecting paradise. I want to talk about wet Florida a little bit, because you can't have wild Florida without wet Florida. And Ducks Unlimited, true to our name, we care about the wetlands and wetlands conservation, and that's so integral. And Florida's been doing that for many years. Florida's been working to take care of wetlands, investing in wetlands. But I want to talk a little more about then. Everglades is a big highlight often, and a lot of funding goes there. But there's a lot more to Florida and Florida wetlands that I like to talk about and would like to share with you. I want to first kind of tell you about Ducks Unlimited, who we are. We've been around and worked in Florida for many years, but some of you may not have heard much about us. And some people probably think some people say you're a clothing company, right? You make that duck head clothing. We do actually make some nice apparel if you'd like some, see me later. But we do conservation work through people. I mean, that boils it down. DU is a people organization that does conservation work, and I want to share with you, kind of kick off who we are. You see on the top left corner, that's the Sarasota Military Academy student chapter. And to the right, that's a picture of folks from the state chapter organization. And so we start with people who come to our event, who actually volunteers that put on our events. I was recently in Leesburg at the Golden Triangle chapter, and just see how the people come together to raise money for conservation and then trust us as the staff to put it to good use. And a lot of like what you guys do with the resources that you are stewarding for the people of Florida. We feel a big responsibility, and we then go do things on the ground. We try to move water. We try to restore wetlands. We try to protect wetlands. And again, we're managing paradise in a lot of ways. We work across the whole country. Just last year, our fingerprints and conservation touched 641,000 acres across the country. Since 1937, we're over 18 million. And that means we were on the ground. We are a land trust. We might have facilitated an acquisition or an easement or something like that, or we might have gone and replumbed something, restored the hydrology, put something back. Again, people, 30,000 volunteers that come and work with us and help us deliver our mission. We do events across the country. If you hadn't been to one of our events, you ought to come. It's a lot of fun. We have fun and enjoy raising funds for conservation, and it's really nice to see that enthusiasm with people. And we also are really proud that of our efficiency in pouring that money into conservation and not other things. We're a not-for-profit, and we have to be really careful and make sure our efficiency stays where it needs to stay. We cover three main areas, and a lot of what you heard from Tracy and Shane, we share so much in common with our colleagues. And Shane, I'm glad you said we're We're partners. We collaborate. We don't compete because our heart's in the same place. We protect lands through conservation easements and acquisitions. We enhance lands. We may go restore a bottomland hardwood by planting trees. We may restore an estuary, a marsh, by planting sawgrass. We may restore marsh grasses. We go in and we do infrastructure projects that you would have to call infrastructure. We go build levees and dikes and dams. We plug ditches. We move dirt at Ducks Unlimited, which is something that we're very proud of and we enjoy doing. We get our hands really dirty at times, and we love it. Kind of some of the roles we serve, we do technical support. We'll help landowners. We'll advise landowners. And again, the theme of this has been working on working landscapes and those working lands, ag lands, ranch lands, timber lands. We sit down at the kitchen table with these landowners and talk to them. And the first question is, how can we help you deliver what you want to do on your land? What are your priorities for your land and how can we help you? And we do outreach. We knock on doors. We go meet people. We have staff that just go out and develop those relationships that Shane and Tracy talked about that are so critical. It starts with that relationship, building trust with a landowner before you can do anything. And that's a critical part of what we do when boots on the ground to deliver those kind of opportunities. We have engineering, and we have over 100 engineers on staff. I'll talk a little bit more later, but basically we have a team that starts with a project idea, sits down with a landowner, develops the project, whether it be restoring a wetland, protecting a wetland, providing habitat, building a duck pond for somebody that just wants to see ducks or have wildlife or have duck hunting. We do all of the above, and we just build the partnership. We go around the cycle, and we design the project. If it's infrastructure, we deliver the project. We oversee it. We do a lot of contracting. We have a lot of projects that we bid out across the country where it's a direct economic impact, where people bid on contracts, and we do things. We do work. We take federal, state, and money we raise and plow it into these contracts on the ground. So we go around the cycle and do all of the above as far as managing conservation work. Again, our engineering staff, we're really unique in a lot of ways that we have engineering staff and we have biologists. And I always tell the story, if you have a biologist, and I am one, so I'm guilty, if you ask me to go design an infrastructure project, it would probably be ugly and it wouldn't last very long. But it might be good for wildlife for a little while. You put an engineer together with a biologist, and you talk about building a project that will last a long time. It's done right. It's going to be safe. It's going to hold water where you want to hold water. It's going to manage and release water when you want to release water. You put biologists and engineers together, and you get a project that's good for wildlife and is a good expenditure of the funding and will last a long time. We also work, as a lot of NGOs do, in the policy arena. We're very active at the federal level. A lot of the programs that Shane and Tracy talked about, a lot of federal cost share programs through the Farm Bill, RCPP, NRCS administers. We work in the Farm Bill arena to try to make sure we have programs that can be delivered on the ground and we can work with people to do good things with those funds. The North American Wetlands Conservation Act, you may not have heard of that act. It kind of flies under the radar. That program is federal funding, and it's, again, match-oriented. In Florida, over the last 20 years, through that program, we and other partners have been able to take $22 million of federal money and do $70 million of work and do conservation on 150,000 acres in Florida, just Florida. And we work all over the country with those kind of funding. And that's kind of the sweet spot for us. We bring these funding opportunities and ability to the table and work with landowners. It's like a puzzle you put together. You bring philanthropy together, you bring people's efforts to raise money, and you get work done on the ground. So we work across a lot of different federal programs, and we also work here with y'all in Florida. We've kind of been under the radar in Florida the last few years, but our leadership at Ducks Unlimited, including me and our CEO, really do care a lot about Florida. So don't ever lose out of that. We love Florida, and we want to do more. And we feel like we're just getting started. And our colleagues in the conservation arena have welcomed us with open arms, and we're going to be trying to do more and more to be value-added to conservation in Florida. One cool thing that y'all did for us last year, or not for us, but for conservation, is put together kind of a pilot funding program. It's modeled after the federal program I mentioned, where it's cost-share match, public-private partnership. You bring some state money to the table. we work with the landowner, we bring private sector funding and donated funds to the table, and we match 50-50, and we do conservation on the ground. We have three projects we're involved in that we're implementing across Florida through this funding this year. We're hoping to demonstrate this can work in Florida and will be a successful program. What are the benefits of our work? You know, it was mentioned earlier, and the film covers it. What we do in conservation, and particularly with our water and wetlands, is it's no secret. Everybody knows how important water and wetlands are in Florida, and I'm preaching to the choir on this, I know. But we know that it provides recreation, it provides water quality, it provides drinking water to our cities. It's just ranch lands rely on water and water supply, and our ag lands require water. And if we take care of our water, we keep Florida the paradise it is. And that's the bottom line, and that's what we try to do. It's good for wildlife. If we don't have wetlands, we lose a lot of wildlife. We got to have wildlife for wetlands to have habitat, to breed, and to live, and to feed. So many of our wildlife species are dependent on wetlands, and we have to take care of it. It's ground central for wildlife. And then, again, benefits to people and communities, water quality, flood storage, carbon sequestration, groundwater, recreation, economic stability. We like to consider all that as we're working in communities and on the landscape to do a water project to make sure it's checking all the boxes and delivers those values to the community, to the people, and to the ducks. We work with corporate partners across the whole country. Corporations, as you well know, are really acutely aware of the need to invest in conservation and to be good conservation stewards and support conservation. And so we find a lot of conservation partners in the corporate community. We do a lot of you know, just partner projects where they fund things on the ground. And it's really a growing area for us at Ducks Unlimited to work with these big corporate partners. Now to what we're doing in Florida, and really excited about what I could talk for a long time about all the things we're doing in Florida, and I'm seeing such growth and opportunity. But this kind of illustrates, you work on infrastructure and you do it right, you restore it. Like say you're trying to take and create a freshwater marsh where it had been converted to something different. You're trying to restore a freshwater marsh. If you build the infrastructure and restore it, after a few years you get results. You get something that we can be proud of that actually takes care of our water resources and provides all these other values. Our Florida program to date, we feel good with what we've done, but we feel like there's so much more we can do. And we're really wanting to see these numbers. I hope I come back to talk to y'all sometime, and these numbers have changed and gone up dramatically. But we're real proud of that. And we've got almost 17,000 Dark Florida Ducks Unlimited members here in Florida that love what we do and work and support it. I'm going to give three example projects that we're involved in right now. We just finished bidding out this project on the Apalachicola River a couple hours just west of here. This is an example of a project that 40 years ago was converted to ag land and probably was never a great property to do agriculture. And it was drained and ditched, and now it kind of grew up and became just a jungle and not that good for wildlife, not that good for water. We're now going back in and restoring that hydrology and going to restore it where down the road we'll have bottomland hardwoods again. We'll have natural habitats. We'll have a place where all kinds of wildlife and people can enjoy it. So that's an example. And that was a project funded through the Gulf Environmental Benefit Fund out of the oil spill. Now let's go south to the Everglades. We actually, some of my staff came to me and said, can we do work in the Everglades? I said, I'm having flashbacks. I don't know if I want to go. But they said, no, this can be good. This can be good. We've identified projects and partners down there where we can just restore hydrology by plugging ditches and things like that so you send the water to the right place. And we bring money to the table. We secured a grant to help pay for this project that benefits a big part of the Everglades. And then kind of one final thing we were just so proud of, we were in the right place and blessed with an opportunity and those relationships to be able to be the holder of a large easement down near Yeehaw Junction on the DeLuca property. The DeLuca family donated the easement, one of those donated easements that are so important. And the University of Florida is our partner through their foundation. Now the University of Florida owns the property. But we're working with a lot of partners, Bass Pro Shops, Florida Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're so proud to have these partnerships and opportunity to do something and be a part of, again, protecting and managing paradise. Thank you. I welcome your questions.
Mr. Wiley, thank you for being here and your presentation. Members, do we have questions for Mr. Wiley? Yes, Representative Honchowski.
Thank you, Chair Payne. And in order to be consistent, I just wanted to ask what your thoughts are on the state's land acquisition program, and if you share the thoughts of the two previous speakers who raved about it.
Oh, well, no, I disagree. I'm so proud of Florida's land acquisition program, but here are the things I see that, and you guys know it, is front and center. You're going to be hearing more and more. One, the pace. We're running out of time. So pace and the more investment we can keep it up, we got to do that. But also, I want to really emphasize the need for funding for management of the land. Managing paradise, managing the land. If we don't manage it, I mean, working with a state agency, with FWC for many years, we were proud of being able to manage land, but we did it with baling wire sometimes. I mean, it was a challenge sometimes to do it right. And I heard the complaints from some of y'all that you know, we want you to manage this land, not let it go, let it go wild. And so we need land management funding across the public lands, and also ways to actually partner with private landowners to do land management, incentivize and support and encourage land management. So it's protecting and managing. I'm glad that theme came forward. Thank you.
Other questions? Stand by just a second. No other questions. Good. Mr. Wiley, thank you for being here. It's great to have Floridians serving at the level you serve at. You might mention to our committee who else is from Florida.
Our CEO is Adam Putnam, and I'm the chief operating officer, so I work shoulder to shoulder with him on a daily basis, and we're having a great time, and people across the country know about Florida because we tell the story, so thank you.
Thank you for that. Members, I've got just a few comments. Did you have something, Mrs. Dean?
Chair, if it's okay, may Matt Pearson, Pat Durden join us?
Yes, please. I'm sorry. Yes. Gentlemen, you're recognized.
For any questions.
Any questions? Okay, yes. So questions from the Cattlemen's Association or for the members of Conservation Florida. Yes, Representative. Which Eskamani are you? Is it Yeskamani today? Okay, you're right.
I'm all Yeskamani today, Chair. Absolutely. Thank you so much, and thank you for everyone's presentations. Really insightful. I had to step out for a quick phone call, but really just grateful for your leadership. One of the presentations we received last year, along the same lines of conversation, was just about the rising cost of land and how, we need to be willing to compete in that regard. And one of the messages stood out to me during the preview to the show you showed us was how a lot of our cattlemen and cattlewomen feel the pressure to sell because they're land rich, but not necessarily rich in other ways. So I am curious about maybe this conflict, right? And what do we do to encourage to stay in the business, right, and to not sell to developers, but to instead work with land conservation. Maybe just what's the pitch? How do we navigate that, and is it being successful? And maybe talk a little more about that landscape. And full disclosure, I'm in Central Florida, so Tavistock as an example, right? We're seeing the mass transition from farmland to development. So I'm very curious about your perspective on all that.
Well,
Mr. Durden. Just for the record, identify who you are so that we get all the stuff on the record, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. I'm Pat Durden with the Florida Cattlemen's Association, their current president. Thank you, Chairman Payne. Always a pleasure to be with you and the rest of the committee. So, well, the question was kind of broad, I think. It seems simple, but I guess I'm going to say 15% of the state of Florida's GDP comes from agriculture. And I think it's protecting working lands in perpetuity is not only vital to our national security and our food and fiber security, but also to our environment and the men and women of agriculture, not just ranchers, but farmers. I mean, you saw the videos. I have my friend and colleague Matt Pierce here. You saw him. You saw the grinders. It's a pleasure always to be
in the room with them and their friends. And if you really knew what was in their heart, you would actually see that they want to continue this to the next generation. And if there's not a generation behind them, like me, you know, the good thing about rural and family lands and these conservation easement programs are that they stay in perpetuity, and those can be sold to somebody else that wants to continue that agriculture industry. And therefore, you're kind of blocking it from being developed, and you're ensuring that we're able to produce the food and fiber for Florida and the rest of the nation, and continue to protect our environment and the wildlife habitat that everyone has spoke on. I think it's imperative, and I know what's in their hearts. It is a tough decision sometimes. I mean, it's a painful thing when a family has to make a decision to let go of a piece of property. But the good thing about some of these conservation easement programs are the ones that are entering into them voluntarily. A lot of that money is actually going into securing more working lands. So they're, you know, and then they try and roll that into a program again. So you're actually helping snowball the effect of protecting and preserving those working lands, I think, with these programs.
Thank you for the answer. Additional questions? Yes, sir, Representative Gottlieb.
Thank you, Chair. I just have one question, which is really, I appreciate everything you guys said today, but most of what we talked about, even though we touched on the Everglades, was central and northern Florida. I come from Broward County, so South Florida. Is there nothing we can do, or because we have the Everglades, it's already conservation, or you know, just that's my question. What, if anything, can we do to help conserve South Florida?
You're right.
Chair? Thank you. That's a great question, and we do work statewide. We have active projects in Palm Beach County, Martin County, and in Southwest Florida as well. Yes, I mean, the Everglades are extraordinary, and we want to keep adding on and protecting that corridor. But there's also opportunity through some of our state programs and your local programs that allow for localized, what we call community conservation. And so I'd encourage you to talk to your local leaders as well about funding at the local level for additional parks and natural resource and recreation and investments in that arena as well. And if I may, Chair, sort of piggyback on to Representative Escamani's question for a moment that I think adds in to this as well, or ties in, is that you saw in the video the gentleman say that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, or today, 20 years ago, and now the second best is today. I'd say the same exact thing applies to buying land. The very best time to have bought a lot of these agricultural lands, these wild lands, was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. The next best time is today. Land will not be any cheaper than it is right now. And as Nick said, we are on a clock. So we only have a handful of years left to secure some of these very special places. And that includes working with our more urban areas and our more rural areas as well. So we want to just make sure that we're investing in all of the programs, because all of the programs are important.
Anybody else? Any other questions? So, I'm sorry, Mr. Pierce, I didn't recognize you. If you would like to state your name. And
Matt Pierce, I'm chair of Conservation Florida. To answer your question a little bit more, maybe, is that when you look further north than the Everglades, you're getting into the headwaters, which that's where it all starts. That's the imperative part about where we need to focus on conservation, which is around, you know, a lot of urban area. But that's going to have a trickle-down effect to where you're at. We ranch south of the lake in the upper Everglades there. And, you know, that conservation area that we ranch on is important to the Everglades with water retention and aquifer recharge. So, I mean, I think it's vital to get up way upstream.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. Just, I guess, one more question then. How important is it for us, I know we're talking about land conservation and buying land, what about invasive species? You know, what, if anything, can we do to, as a legislative body, to assist you guys in your efforts to ensure, and I'm talking plant as well as animals, to help in the conservation efforts?
If I can, I'll help you with that question. There are still discussions going on with FWC, who's in the room. I see them nodding in the back. It was an important topic for me this summer to talk to them about that. So there are some efforts. I'd be glad to make sure we can share those later on.
Okay.
But it is important. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is important to understand those invasive species and what it does to our lands if we can't find a solution. And the solution right now is going to be very difficult. So, good. Anybody else? Well, thank you all for being here today. It's important. I think members, you may want to pick up a wildlife post on the way out. There's some that Mrs. Dean supplied for us, but it's important as far as our education, our knowledge, to understand the vital roles that each of you play. I think for members, I appreciate your attention today. It's not often that you can sit through a Monday afternoon meeting from 3 to 5 o'clock, but we're going to get here on time. I just want you to recognize, and I told you from day one, the challenges that we'll continue to face with land and water, land acquisition, water, inextricably connected, our land and water. And we see it more in the challenges every day with people moving to Florida, where we have Chair McFarland's committee in transportation and Chair Stevenson's committee in everything water and Chair Buchanan's committee on natural resources and ag. Those are the challenges that we're going to continue to see, not only now, but in the future for all of you members that are in the committee. So I appreciate your attention on that today. I'm glad that some of you got to see a little glimpse into some of my world when, and no offense, some of the city slickers that don't get a chance to get out and be around horses and dogs and cows and have to clean their boots in the afternoon when they get home. To understand that the conservationists in our state are really there, they're doing the job. And if you've never been exposed to it, I would encourage you to visit some of these locations, Tall Timbers. Visit your local and your communities if you have them, or not in communities. Go to ranchers and farmers and see what they're doing, and see what they're doing that's vital to our state. Visiting IFAS, University of Florida, and seeing the things that are going in the state that you may never be exposed to unless you're in a position that you're in now. So with that, members, if no other questions, Representative Redondo moves that we rise and we're adjourned. Thank you.